Alrighty, welcome back to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show. We are live on Tuesday night again for the Green Bay Packers. We have their win over the Houston Texans. This will go, as far as the season goes, down as a signature win to beat a team that was 5-1 coming in, and both teams leave the game 5-2. And today we are also going to preview the Packers' upcoming matchup with the Jaguars in Jacksonville. So we'll talk about both.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
Alrighty, so Simon is not with us right away. He is going to be joining us when he is good and ready. I guess he's up in Alaska dealing with some rain / snowstorms like you do in Alaska. So yeah. Simon's going to join us when he is ready. But we're going to start still on defense like we normally do, but we're going to start this week with the pass rush. So I'll go to Jake.
Yeah, I think it's fitting that we're starting to show a pass rush, since in my opinion, that was the position group that had the biggest impact on the game. I just want to give a shout out. I was hoping Simon was going to be here in the beginning, but shout out to Simon. He found a really great stat. Tyler found a really, really good stat. Bryant tried to share a stat, the same stat actually, but his link didn't work, so I'll give a thank you to everybody. We have a really great group here, so I appreciate everybody. But starting out, we had 4 sacks, 2 by Eric Wilson, who had to play a bunch more snaps. Shout out to Bryant again for saying that he wanted Eric Wilson on the field more, and he played big. With Quay Walker leaving, Eric Wilson came up and got those sacks and those pass rush situations that I was giving credit to Quay Walker in. But it just seems like it's a scheme at this point, honestly. Halfley's pushing all the right buttons at the right time, right? Not that the players can't improve in certain areas, but, man, Eric Wilson looked real fast on Sunday, in my opinion. The whole defense did, honestly. 2 sacks from him, sack from Gary, who was living in the backfield on Sunday. Just a couple times, well, one time when they literally just like forgot to block him when he was standing up menacingly behind the defensive line.
I love that shot. I love it. That shot where he's just walking along the line.
Yeah. Just going for a Sunday stroll. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to come kill your quarterback now. And then another one when the right tackle was so terrified of how fast Gary got off the line that he decided to take a seat. Didn't even get touched. Just sat down on the field and allowed CJ Stroud to get killed. And then my favorite sack of the day was Xavier McKinney. No way in hell did I think Xavier McKinney was coming. No way in hell did the Texans think Xavier McKinney was coming, because Dalton Schultz didn't even look over there. He blocked down like you're taught, and McKinney came off the edge. They actually blitzed him twice from what I remember. 3 hits. We also had 3 quarterback hits. Gary had 2 of them. Colby Wooden had the other one. And 11 hurries. Enagbare and Gary had 3 apiece, so good game by Enagbare. Under the radar, I feel like, in basketball terms, because I've been thinking about basketball all day. It's like when a guy has a quiet 20-point game, right? That's kind of how I feel about Enagbare having 3 hurries. People didn't really think about it too much. Clark had 2. Brooks, McKinney, and Wilson each had 1. So the stats I was presented, I'm going to read off real quick. Packers sent 5 or more pass rushers on only 17.2% of Stroud's dropbacks. The lowest blitz rate in the NFL is 17.1. Yet the Packers pressured Stroud on 51.7% of his dropbacks. The highest pressure rate in the NFL is 42.6. So, I mean, hats off to Halfley, man. Honestly, he was tremendous. Stroud pressured on 15 of 29 dropbacks and was 2 for 9 for 12 yards, and we sacked him 4 times in those situations. So, I mean, the O-line for the Texans may just be really bad, or the Packers pass rush is hearing people's complaints and they're showing up when they need to.
I think it's a little bit of both. So looking at the, for me, going into the defensive line, mm-hmm. We kind of had a little bit of this conversation going on before the show started, but looking at the first half, the D-line was helping get the pressure, but they needed to help more against the run. Mm-hmm. Second half, the first third down of the second half for the Texans, there was a play where Kenny Clark forced Stroud like right into Eric Wilson. So I wanted to give Kenny Clark some credit for that again. We've talked about this a lot throughout the first handful of weeks of the season, that there's more to pass rush than just registering sacks and rushing, you know, keeping your rush lanes and forcing quarterbacks to step up into other players for sacks. That stuff does matter. That shows up on the tape, but not in the box score. So I wanted to give Kenny Clark credit for that. Now, you two were having a little bit of conversation about the penalties, the offsides, and the neutral zone infractions. So the defensive line had four of the Packers' penalties this week. Now, it sounded to me like you guys are not thrilled with the penalties. Now,
four on the D-line is crazy, bro. That's
and,
crazy.
And it's,
especially in the situations that happened. Or two of them, at least, were in really bad situations.
I'll give you two of them. So I don't know, I'm going to bring Simon in here before I kind of start to say what I'm going to say. But looking at it from a perspective of effort, that's how I chose to look at it. Now, obviously, again, you know, four of them across the D-line is not something you really want to see. And I'm not saying that I want to see this continue, but I'm also not mad at it because these four penalties happened by four different players. So to me, I was looking at it as them trying to gain an advantage.
I think the only one that really bothers me is that last one where it's like, dude, that's, we have them in a position where it's going to be fourth down. They're going to have to kick a, you know, 58 yard field goal. Fairburn is very good. I wouldn't doubt that he could make it, but it was not, it was kind of windy out there a little bit. But you much rather have him make that, not to mention the time that came off. Now, ultimately, it turned out in our favor because they didn't have no time left. But I would much rather still have to have him make a 58-yard field goal in that situation. If he misses it, then we're just trying to kill the clock down and win the game from, or even get even closer to where they have to score a touchdown, because it wouldn't take us much to get into field goal range. That was the only one I was like, dude, that is such a killer penalty right there. Like, absolutely killer.
That was about like a third out of 5.5. So they ended up having a third of inches.
Yeah.
But looking at, I looked at them overall, trying to figure out, especially being the home team facing a team on the road, trying to gauge their timing. Because when you're playing on the road, you're not going to be able to get your cadences off because the other team is going to be making noise, or the other team's crowd is going to be making noise.
Right.
So you're trying to time their times to get an advantage. And when you are successful on those things, you can make game-wrecking plays, like strip sacks, things of that nature. You know, the McKinney sack, I'm not saying McKinney was one of the players who was, you know, trying to time the snap. He just had a free rush. But we've seen guys like Kenny Clark, when they time those snaps well, and then we're like, whoa, he got such a great jump. That's that kind of thing. It just didn't work in their favor this game.
Yeah.
Now, if it's something that becomes a trend or a habit, then I will change my tune on it. But with this being a one game instance and it being different players, not one player doing it over and over again, not repeating the same mistake, I'm choosing to look at it more of guys trying to gain an advantage than guys not being coached right or guys making boneheaded mistakes.
Yeah. And like I kind of said before we came on air, was that it seems like each some position groups are taking turns rotating between who's going to get the majority of the penalties for the day. So hopefully that can slow down a little bit.
All right. Well, Bryant, we'll go to you for the linebackers.
Yeah. So I thought it was kind of a little bit of a roller coaster game, to be honest. I thought obviously Eric Wilson played phenomenal. I love the fact he was on the field more. I don't love the fact that it was because Quay got knocked out. I thought Quay started the game strong. I thought he was doing good things in the run game a little bit. So overall, if you go off like PFF record, it's hard to, you know, sometimes really grade the linebackers. It had their run, especially Cooper and Isaiah McDuffie, their run grades against the run were not good. But Quay Walker and Wilson were like our two highest graded PFF players on defense for the game. So I thought they had a big impact. They did miss four tackles. And I think they only combined for like seven tackles. But obviously those Wilson having three huge plays, two of them being sacks and that pass breakup, all of those happened on third down, every single one of them. So I don't know what it is about him. I don't know why he doesn't get more snaps unless there's an injury, but he just continues to make plays. He had that interception that was like him playing wide receiver earlier in the year. I get it that they want to use him for situational stuff, but he seems to just be around the ball and he seems to make the plays. So hopefully, you know, even if Quay's back this week, hopefully this shows them like, hey, we probably need to get Eric Wilson on the field a little more, no matter what. It's kind of turning into like a Williams situation where it's like, okay, we thought this was going to be Bullard, or maybe we thought this was going to be, you know, Carrington Valentine, who didn't even play a snap this last game again. But, you know, but they're just forcing, Williams is playing so well that there's like, we have to have him on the field. That's going to, that's, there's no, you know, choice about that. And I think Williams played every snap this game or something like that. So I think Wilson won't play every snap, but I feel like he's earned the right to be on the field for 20, 25, 30 snaps a game, at least 50% of their snaps. He needs to rotate in. I feel like that. Obviously I'm not scheming up anything. I will say, they had like seven tackles as a squad. They missed four, and the team did miss 10 tackles, which isn't terrible, but isn't great. I said last week that they need to watch out for Mixon bouncing outside. He definitely did that, caused some missed tackles, did that on his touchdown. He was running like, that's the best I've seen Joe Mixon. I haven't watched him this year. Maybe he's been like that all year, but man, he looked fast and strong. Like he
Mixon's really, been like that all year. He's been really good this year.
Getting revitalized, being back in that offense or something. He's been running super strong. I will say shout out to Cooper though. He did absolutely murder a wide receiver or tight end trying to block him. I think it was Dalton Schultz. He smoked him and he flew back into the wide receiver that was trying to take the wide receiver screen. Cooper didn't make the tackle on that play. I can't remember if it was Williams or who it was. But Cooper smacked the guy back into him and created a tackle for loss or like no gain. So that was a good play by him. He's still young. He's still learning. I like his athletic upside. But overall, kind of a roller coaster game from him. But when you have someone that has such a huge game like Eric Wilson, matters, and it props up the linebacker group.
Jake, how'd the Packers defense do on third and fourth downs?
Good again. Can't be upset. Held in the 4 for 13. That's 30% if you're doing percentages at home. So that's very good. Third and short, we gave up 3 of 4. So 3 of their 4 conversions were third and shorts. Third and medium, they were 0 for 4. One sack from McKinney in third and medium, and one sack from Wilson in third and medium. And then third and long, they were 0 for 4 until they picked up that last one on the drive, the 11-yarder. You know, and people were talking about Jair, and I know Simon saw my comment because, you know, I commented and replied to him. I said, it took a perfect pass and an amazing catch to beat Jair on Sunday. That's how good he was on Sunday. And it was the one long third down that they picked up. Wilson's other sack came on a third and long situation. So they did tremendous. They were forcing tons of pressure and forcing them in the down and distance, and they were winning. So good job by the Packers defense.
So Steve asked, wasn't Mixon averaging 5.5 yards coming into the game? That sounds about right. He averaged 4.6 against the Packers, and so his season total now is 5.2. So Mixon has been really good. And JR brought up him getting rejected for the Lambeau Leap, which is awesome. Adarian brought up something that I think I don't agree with, that he thinks Eric Wilson should start in place of Quay Walker and Walker should be moved to the outside linebacker spot, especially since he's the most effective on blitz plays. I don't think I can get behind that. I can get behind Isaiah McDuffie having a few more snaps taken off the field to get Eric Wilson some more snaps, but I don't think Eric Wilson should be starting in place of Quay Walker.
I think Eric Wilson is really good at his role, and people should just be happy that he's playing good in his role. That's what I think. I don't think that we have to move people out of starting lineups just to appease the fan base. Let's just let them do what they're doing. Eric Wilson's playing good in his role. He stepped up big on Sunday. Let's just let it be. Hopefully Quay Walker is healthy. We're going to hear from Brian later. And he's coming back this week from the concussion.
Yeah. Matthew, the Packers are absolutely on a roll. Simon. Roll
the barrel, baby.
Yeah. Simon, how did you feel about the secondary? Welcome in, by the way.
Fellas, good to see you.
Hold on. Cover your kids' eyes. That's for the fantasy loss last night, you prick.
Fantasy loss?
Yeah, you beat me by 3.
Did I? Dude, I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I gave up on that league. Like, it's just like I get killed every week.
Dude, I was murdering it's you. It's bad. Bro. I killed you.
Hold on. I have to look at this now. I didn't see what happened. I was paying attention to a couple of the leagues.
You're my fantasy.
Secondary though, like they played about as well as you could really ask them to play. Considering, I missed like the first 5 minutes. You guys already talked about like pressure and stuff.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So yeah, with all the pressure that the front seven was able to give, this was about as good as you could. They were in Diggs' face all night. Steve, I'm sorry. I swear to God, I wasn't on purpose. I did not pour salt in the wounds on purpose. Diggs ended up with like 5 catches for 20 yards. Safety play just ends up being coverage is too good. They didn't allow a catch all night. Bullard played a little bit in the slot and he allowed 4 catches for 20 yards. Nixon allowed 1 for 2 and Alexander, like Jake said, 1 on a miraculous catch for 11 yards. Like they did everything that you could have really asked them to do on Sunday.
The fact that I had, you know, I had Tank Dell as my X factor or whatever, or secondary versus Tank Dell. I did not expect us to shut him out. I thought he was going to give us a little bit.
He did drop a touchdown though.
He did.
He should have had that touchdown. I think he ended up beating Alexander.
Yeah.
Chris said all this fantasy talk's got his head spinning.
Dude, this is my favorite comment ever.
You got one letter wrong in that whole sentence you made there.
Just move on, Tyler.
Okay. All right. Darian said, I'm actually happy that Rashawn Gary finally showed up against the Texans, proved himself worthy of the extension we gave him. You got to watch our show a little more often, especially our play breakdowns. He's been fine. Of the 21 passes. I was right first time. 21 passes, only 7 of them went further than 10 yards for CJ Stroud. So when Simon's talking about the secondary, that they're not even trying them, they only attempted 2 passes beyond 20 yards and 5 passes between 10 and 19 yards.
People don't want to throw down the field against us.
They don't. That's legitimately, like, within 3 or 4 weeks, struck fear into the opponents of the Packers to the point that they don't want to throw the ball downfield anymore. Because they're like, okay, yeah, if we do that, like Xavier McKinney's just going to pick it off.
I actually won a fantasy game with Stroud as my starting quarterback. So,
Your opponent must have had the Jets defense. Yeah,
I think I won one with Daniels.
Okay, Jake, how did the Packers do in the red zone defense?
Honestly, pretty happy about that too. Considering when you consider the position that they were put in to start this game and the position that they were in, you know, throughout this game, giving them 2 drives to start the 11-yard line. So, first drive, they get the ball at the 11 after the interception. Mixon for 1 yard. Stroud incomplete. They have a 3rd and 9, an incomplete pass, but there was an offside, so no play. And then a 3rd and 4, incomplete pass, pressure from Gary. That was the play where Gary was kind of walking around menacingly, and it was just like, how do you not block that guy? How do you see him walking around, and somebody on the O-line doesn't go like, we should block 52? Like, he's the guy, in my opinion, that you have to block, but I'll take it. Field goal, and then after the field goal, there was the penalty by Anigbare, and I saw – a bunch of people kind of complaining about this. But the thing for me is I wear my heart on my sleeve too. I'm an emotional guy. So when I see, you know, the Packers getting emotional and talking shit and backing it up, I get up for that. They got me riled up, man. And I'm already ready to go at game time. So when I see them fighting, getting in people's faces, bumping helmets, I'm like, oh, I want to kill these mother, you know, I want to be out there. Give me a helmet, damn it. And I wasn't mad at Enagbare. I like when teams play with emotion. Look at how they played the whole four quarters. They played physical. They played fast. So I feel like this team played with a little bit more of an edge, and I like that.
Dude, Eric Wilson that absolutely de-cleated somebody too?
You hear the whole crowd go,
oh, it just smacked him on his feet.
They were going crazy, bro. Yeah. It was awesome. No, Justin, I will not call. Dude, it gets me going, dude. I would be crazy.
Jake is like a woman that you try to tell him to calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down. It doesn't work. Second one, they had to start at the 11 again. Mixon went for 9. Then Mixon got the touchdown afterwards. Then they had another drive. Mixon ran for negative – or no, sorry. I have to go to the first one here. They were at the 19, Pierce for no gain, and then it was second and 10 at the 19, and Van Ness went offsides, so a couple offsides penalties. Then second and 5 at the 14, Mixon went for 10 yards, and then they had first and goal at the 4. Mixon ran it for a touchdown. I will not calm down. And then the final drive, I got to say it. So they were just going to run the clock out right after picking up the big third down, so they had negative 2 and negative 3 yards from Mixon. Then they had 3rd and 5 at the 17, and they threw the ball. And I was like, why would they throw the ball? You allowed us to keep a timeout, which basically won us the game, in my opinion. That play call was so dumb. I felt like there was some bad coaching on Sunday, and I felt like most of the bad coaching was on the Houston sideline, in my opinion. I don't think that they set up C.J. Stroud to succeed. With the way that the Packers were getting in there, they could have called a lot better plays. They want to cry about people that they're missing. You have Stephon Diggs. Just give him the fucking ball, man.
Oh. Still
mixing it up. They only threw 3 passes in the red zone. They were 0 for 3. They ran the ball 8 times in the red zone. They only had 21 yards. So that's 2.6 yards per carry. So the Packers' defense in the red zone actually did really good holding the 2 field goals that won us the game.
That's interesting. So a handful of comments. Firstly, Justin said, glad we won, but I wonder how it would have went if they had Nico Collins healthy. Nico Collins doesn't play offensive line.
Yeah. What if we had Devontae Wyatt in there against that other offensive line and the pressures we were spicing up, you know what I mean? So we could play that game too, you know. Or if Quay Walker doesn't get concussed 13 plays into the game.
Steve said, I really hope the defense continues to be expanded as advertised. Love how they moved around Rashawn. And I think I said it last week. It might have been the week before, but that I said that Rashawn Gary, like Jeff Halfley, is going to start using him like in ways to get him open, get him one-on-ones. And we saw a little bit of that this week. Darian said, I'm also laughing about Stephon Diggs' actions from pregame, catching up with him. He did a lot of chirping, only to find himself ineffective with 23 yards off 5 receptions. And I got to find – oh, it was Steve that said 23 yards fitting for Diggs, 23. Yeah, I think he had 23 yards is hilarious. JR said the suplex that that defender did to Reed made me super mad. That could have ended bad for Reed. Yeah, that's why you got that 15-yard penalty. Yeah, don't do that shit. I have a little bit of a tolerance for, you know, the emotions of stuff. Like if you're getting frustrated, like I get it. But when you get to a point where you're potentially hurting somebody else in a competition, then it's, that's too much. Okay. So, going back to Simon, to his beginning point, Simon, how did you feel about the defensive scheme as a whole?
Yeah, Jeff Halfley's just continues to mix it up on defense, and we kind of already talked about it a little bit. I saw a snippet of Rashawn Gary's and where he like rushed from, and he was all over the defensive line from like outside the tackle to outside the tackle. And I think Tyler said it where he just like kind of got up and moved towards the middle and rushed, and their offensive line had no clue. You just saw the left guard going over to help the left tackle and double team a guy. And next thing you know, Rashawn Gary is just in CJ Stroud's face.
He lined up over the center once too.
Yeah. He was all over the place. It was interesting. What else? Oh, sorry. And then, Wilson getting 2 sacks, and then no one had any idea McKinney was coming on that play at all. So he was right on C.J. Stroud's back in the blink of an eye. So they caused – what's that?
That safety blitz, that was on 3rd and 6.
Yeah, and it kicked him out of any shot at a field goal too.
Brian's favorite play.
Again, you don't see a lot of blitzing from Jeff Hafley, but they were pretty effective. Those five blitz plays resulted in four pressures, three incompletions, a sack, and only one 11-yard completion to Tank Dell. Or, I'm sorry, Xavier Hutchinson. Excuse me. Misspoke there. But, yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think it's really – I don't know. It's almost like the defense is starting to take some inspiration from, you know, like the Packers offense. There's so much emotion and stuff. Or you could say almost Vikings-esque with what Brian Flores does, where you're moving so much pieces around. You don't know who's blitzing. The one that Jake talked about earlier and you just talked about with Xavier McKinney sack, it's crazy to watch. It's almost like they all rotate to help cover what he had given up, and that's for press and drops. And it's like I was watching someone do the breakdown. I wish I could remember who, but they're basically saying that like five players ended up guarding someone else you wouldn't expect it in the play or to guard pre-snap, and they're not really showing their hand. So, I mean, you know, the fact that we move so much on offense and now we're starting to do it on defense, I really like the fact we're creating so much confusion because, I mean, you can see where it just baffles some quarterbacks and they really struggle to pick it up.
Yeah. Darian said the same thing as you were saying, that he thinks Jeff Hafley took a page from Brian Flores' book on confusing CJ Stroud with the schemes he drew up. Absolutely.
Oh, that's true. I mean, the Vikings absolutely shut him down earlier in the year. I don't know. Yeah. Actually, I think we probably had a better game than against Stroud than they did, but I guarantee Hafley watched that game.
Oh, I'm sure. Chris said, tricky, show a zero blitz and drop into things like cover two. People get real confused. And that's all you got to do is just mix it up. You know, and honestly, if I'm on the Packers defense and we're mixing things up and we're doing it, you know, like sometimes we're going to blitz four guys from this side and sometimes we're all going to drop back into coverage and they're going to rush two, or, you know, they're just creating pressure. Like if I'm on the Packers defense, this is fun. It's fun doing different things and mixing it up. Obviously, everybody needs to be on the same page, but that's part of playing a team sport. So it's fun. It's fun watching the Packers play defense, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah, the fact that Gary only has two sacks on the year. I don't even know if Preston Smith has one or a half or whatever he might be credited with. LVN maybe one. Our main pass rushers have not gotten home, but yet we're not. It's not like we're the bottom in the league in producing sacks. I think we have about.
No, I think we're seventh.
We're seventh. We're like top 10 right now, and we're producing them from different ways. So it's exciting.
Steve asked, Jair gave up zero catches for 0 yards to Diggs on Sunday. That is correct. In seven games against Jair, Diggs has 8 targets for 3 catches and 21 yards and 0 scores. Is that real? I believe so.
Yeah.
Jacob Morley is a good source. So,
yeah, he's pretty trusted.
Preston Smith has 3 sacks.
He had two against
the Titans. He had a bunch against the Titans.
Yep.
JR.
You said, I think Xavier's sack came on a 4-man rush. He was part of that 4-man rush. And that's the thing. You're mixing up different guys and different rushes. It's a lot of fun to watch. Yep. JR, we're going to get to Love in a little bit when we move into the offense. Chris said he felt the same way with Minnesota this year. The defense is exciting to watch as the offense, maybe more so. I don't feel quite that far as the Packers go. The Packers defense is way more fun than it's been to watch in like
the last few, like 10 years, maybe.
Oh, you're good. You're good, JR. We started with defense this year so that we could transition a little bit differently this year. So
I'm going to say the Packers offense is exciting because they turn the ball over so much.
Yeah. He said, yeah, we have Darnold. Yeah. Well, that's a bummer. You guys might be getting Matt Stafford soon, though.
That would not be great for us.
That'd be stupid.
It would be weird.
Is there any truth behind that? I thought it was just someone.
I haven't even seen that.
I've seen one report, and it's probably by, like, you know.
I haven't looked into it yet to be like
sportstalks.ce or something.
Yeah. yeah, of course not.
Yeah. Okay. Steve, I think Bryant's going to have a little bit of that too. Justin said, bring back the Baltimore blitz from a few games ago that we ran so wild. No actual sources, a bunch of clowns, nothing concrete. So I'm going to stick on coaching before I go to Bryant for special teams, just because I have things to say about Hafley. Honestly, my coaching section is a little bit more about Hafley than it is about the floor, honestly. So Hafley cooked this whole game. the great pressure calls, especially on third downs. Jake already talked about the third down percentage. Houston came in at 41.5% conversions on third down. Packers held them to 31%. Houston came in at 75% in the red zone, 87.5% in the red zone on the road.
Sheesh.
Packers held them to 50%.
Like that.
So there's that. Now, Justin said Football Fever Forever Facebook page was saying that.
It's a good source.
Yeah. JR asked if anybody saw Jair injure himself and was off the field for a few plays. Does anybody know what was wrong? I did not see that.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about that.
Okay. Other things on coaching before I go to Brian for special teams. I don't have any problems with Matt LaFleur this game. I know I saw a couple people kind of criticizing. It's like the time of possession was almost even despite three turnovers. The penalties, yeah, there were eight of them, but only one of them was on offense, which was the Dobbs block in the back, which was a questionable call to begin with. Five of them on the defense, and I talked about the neutral zone infractions and the offsides. I believe those to be more like effort penalties than mistake-type penalties. And then there were two on special teams. So I'm not super, like, concerned or worried. I just obviously like to see those cut down in the future. But it's not something where it's like, this needs to fix or this person should be cut. It's just clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That block in the back penalty is kind of whack.
He hit him on the shoulder. Even though
I'll say this.
It looked like it, but it wasn't on slow.
He shouldn't have put his hand out. He should have just did like a basketball screen where he just puts his hands up like this.
Box out.
Once he put his hand down, that was where the ref was like, all right, he's probably blocking him in the back. Just go like this and just get in his way. He wasn't going to make the tackle anyways.
Steve said the new nickname for a defensive coordinator, Chef Halfley. Our friend of the show, Adam Cody, Cook. Sent me. He's like, I didn't know Jeff Halfley's middle name was Second. Second Halfley. That was funny. Okay. Bryant. Bryant, how do you feel about special teams?
Yeah, interesting game. I'll start with Daniel Whelan. That dude's got to be the Arnold Palmer of our locker room. If you don't get that reference, look it up. But, so he had five punts, average of 56.8 average, which is insane, and long of 66. He's an absolute weapon at this point. He flips the field. Like, and it's like the punt receivers or whatever on the other team expect him to kick it long, so they're backed up, and then he still kicks them. And the thing is, he doesn't just, you know, do a line drive kick. He's putting it way up in the air, so the people on coverage are having a chance to get there. Not only that, he saved the game on the hold. That was an awful snap by Orzech. If it wasn't for Daniel Whelan, we'd be talking about a loss here due to special teams yet again.
Or Daniel Whelan throwing a game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
That'd be so sick. I'm not even – you know how sick that would be?
Either way, he's still the hero.
Yeah, but just a great job by him picking up that snap. And if you haven't seen the front view of it, go watch the view from, like, the end zone, and you'll see how, like, inside and low that snap actually was. Orzech did get cut today, but it's a formality. They're going to bring him back. They might have already done so. But, yeah, five huge punts, an average of 56.8. At this point, I would say he's right there in the top of the league as one of the best punters in the league. So that's good to have. McManus kind of talked about it. You know, we talked about his issues last week. I said, well, one of the ways to you know, forgive that is coming in here, make a game-winning kick or making your kicks. And what do? He had won an opportunity, a huge opportunity. He made a game-winning kick. So good job on him. Good job not breaking the concentration. We've seen previous kickers where if something just slightly goes wrong, they get all whack in their head and they don't follow the rhythm and they miss that kick there. And then for everyone else, I don't know what the hell they were doing for the rest of special teams. Nixon, for one, I want to say the broadcast was crap. To sit there and point the camera at Ballantyne for like 2 minutes of coverage, like it was his fault, what happened on that play is crazy to me. That ball bounced at the 20-yard line. The fact that Nixon, last week I said, well, when we were talking about Jaden Reed and Nixon, you know, possibly taking turns returning, I said that my concern with Nixon is that he won't ever fair catch it because he'll just want to return it. When I said that, I meant he's going to get, you know, just absolutely smacked. I didn't think that he would just back away from a ball and let it hit his own player and cause a huge, you know, it resulted in a touchdown for Houston. So he's got to get up there and he's got to catch that ball. Same with Jaden Reed. The one Jaden Reed caught into the end zone. If it's going to bounce on the inside of the five, you got to just let it go. If it kicks back and stays at the two or three, good job by the punter. You got to, you know, he makes money too, right? But majority of the time, that is going to kick into the end zone.
Yeah. The overwhelming odds that it bounces.
Exactly. So those are bad. And then you had a penalty on the first play of the game, a kickoff return that was decent out to like the 35, 40 yard line by Nixon, got called back, put us behind the sticks there. They've got to figure the special teams out. It's like a mistake or two a game. If they were just mediocre, if we didn't even realize that they, you know, existed, it would be better than what we have now. You know what I mean? Just do your job, man. Like, if you need to tell them just fair catch everything, you don't need to return anything, then do it at this point, because it's creating more issues than it's in good plays it's resulting in.
You want to hear something sick?
Yeah, go ahead.
PFF has us as the worst graded special teams in the league right
now. I want to hear something more sick. I think since 2013, we've only been graded higher than 24th once, and that was 14th once. Every other time we've been like 24th, 25th, our worst in the league.
I believe it.
I believe it.
Fun. All right.
Well, I have a question. Maybe this was the only thing I was thinking with the Nixon return and why he just kind of waved it off. Was he on the side of the field where you just couldn't see shit?
I'd have to go back
and watch. Because maybe he lost it in the light and just like decided to back off rather than like
try to. He did a real lazy point out where the ball was going to land and then he backed away.
Okay, but my point is like it seemed like he was calling it late. That's the problem.
He did call it late too.
No, he did. It's just I'd have to go back and look, but maybe he like kind of lost it for a second and was like, nah, F that, like I'm not gonna muff this thing, and tried to wave it off.
That's
the only thing I could maybe think of.
That's the same side where the Texans guy had the one where he was kind of backing up on it and it still went like a yard over his head.
That's what I was thinking. But I don't know if that's
fair to bring up.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, LaFleur didn't say he lost it in the sun or anything. He just says he's got to catch it there. So,
yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I was saying that
too. Chris said if you're not talking about special teams, it's usually because they're doing their job.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of same with offensive linemen and sometimes cornerbacks. But the specialists are a little bit different. So
yeah, we just got to get it figured out before the playoffs, because I cannot watch us lose another game because of freaking special teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. Don't even put that in the universe, dude.
Okay. Justin said, despite all the outside stuff, McManus will be a great asset to us on the field. I sent a link to you guys from the Packers last week that they were actually looking at McManus the week before the Cardinals game. They were already looking at McManus that week. So they actually took an extra week to make sure they had all of the information that they could possibly get about McManus before actually signing him. So I think it's worth mentioning that the Packers did their research on it, that they took an extra week even from when they started bringing him in and started considering signing him. So I just wanted to give that not disclaimer, but piece of information.
Yeah. And any concern about his strength of his leg, he kicked a 65 yarder pregame. So
yeah, the one before they iced him that he made too was straight down the middle, and it looked like it was in the middle of the uprights.
The first thing I've noticed about his kicks versus Narveson is Narveson's kicks always seem to have like a tilt on them, and that's what was causing them to go different. McManus's are straight up and down. So
better balls. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Steve said the same with Josh Myers. Haven't heard his name much. He's having a nice year. Josh Myers is actually having a nice year. I agree.
He was mic'd up on Sunday.
Interesting. Okay. Going into the offense, Simon, how do you feel about the tight ends?
With Musgrave headed to IR, Kraft and Sims were the only two that played tight end. Kraft playing 55 snaps and Sims 15 snaps. I thought both of them did pretty well in the blocking game, especially paving the way a little bit in the run game. In the passing game, Tucker Kraft Yeah, he took an absolute dot. That was such a good pat, throw and catch in the end zone to score. That thing was an absolute rocket. Way to hang on for six. He ended up with 33 yards and a touchdown, 12 yards after a catch. And then Sims caught one ball for 2 yards.
It's big work to carry that load, the one catch for 2 yards. Not everybody can do it.
I like that thing that you shared right. You after
piss missile, yeah. True, piss Steve.
After the touchdown, that is Dobbs.
Hot piss only.
Like in the end zone with Tucker Kraft. That was great.
Yep. Yeah. Once I noticed that, I was like, yep, that's going on the old Facebook there.
Did you see that thing the Green Bay Packers media posted where Tucker Kraft was catching in the end zone? It was hot piss and cold.
Yep.
Dude, Green Bay's media team is absolutely cooking this
year.
They got
called out like last year or the year before, and now
they just post so much cool stuff.
Yeah. It's fun. Last week they posted, it was something, it was BDE, and it was like, I don't even remember what it was, but then this week it was something else, and it was like WTF or whatever.
Yeah.
It's fun.
They had them playing the little boxing game this week. The little where you push the button.
Oh,
Yeah, they had him playing that this week. That was fun. Jair just gave up and just pulled Bo Melton's head up and walked away.
All right. Bryant, how do you feel about the wide receivers?
Yeah, I think Romeo Dobbs and our Wicks had a really big game, and it was kind of a quiet game by Watson and Jaden Reed. So for Wicks, he was 3 for 48, had that big touchdown. I want to say this was a really big game for me for Wicks. I think he caught everything that was catchable thrown his way. He made that nice diving catch. He caught that touchdown, you know, in that big spot right there for that over his shoulder. So just for him to hold on to everything he really had a chance at, I thought was big. And actually towards the end of the game, he had beaten his man deep, but that's when they sent like that zero blitz, and just Love kind of threw it up and gave him a chance. I'm not going to lie, I held my breath a little bit there. I literally said, oh no, Jordan, like when he threw it us, but luckily, you know, it fell to the ground or whatever, but he had him beat. But if it was blocked up, it's probably a touchdown.
I'll say if Wicks catches that ball, everybody's going to need new shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So big game for him. And then Romeo Dobbs, man, since he came back last week, 2 touchdowns this week, no touchdowns, but 8 receptions for 95 yards, and 8 of those receptions were resulted in 6 first downs. And then he had that, you know, that catch at the end of the game to set him up even closer with for the field goal. And he just showed how great his hands are. There was another catch earlier in the game where his hands, I was like, how the heck did he catch that?
I saw somebody on Twitter saying that his targets were forced. And I'm like, like he had 10 targets, he had 8 receptions. I'm like, if you're forcing the ball and completing 80% of them, like keep doing that.
Yeah, I guess it's a force that he goes for 8 for 95. I guess forcing
what he had, he had to have like 8 or 7 or 8 first downs too.
He had 6.
But I feel like every single one of his slants went for a first down.
He had 6 first downs, 8 catches for 6 first downs.
Oh no, please don't do that.
And he was 4 for 5 uncontested catches.
Yeah.
No. I mean,
just monster, right? He's just got the best hands on the team. I'm not going to acknowledge my brother right now. I do want to see us get Watson more involved, and that's just a little foreshadow for what I kind of will talk about here for this game.
Yeah, and it's another week where the passing game distribution is spread out very well. 8 different players targeted. All 8 players had a catch. The Romeo Dobbs had the lion's share. Dontayvion Wicks had 6 targets. Josh Jacobs had 5 targets, including his first receiving touchdown.
Let's go.
212 receptions. Hopefully it doesn't take him another 212 to get his next receiving touchdown. Wayne, welcome in. Kraft and Reed each had 4 targets, and there were 2 drops by Packers receivers. One of them, you mentioned Reed having kind of a slower day. His day could have looked a lot better if he had reeled in that one. Atham said Jordan Love doesn't have the arm strength to hit Watson regularly. I don't know that I
agree. I disagree with that.
He's got that. He showed it in the Cardinals game. He had him for that deep touchdown. It's just a little bit a matter of scheme, of, you know, opportunity and things like that. Yeah, Justin said Force because Love is a gunslinger and makes bad decisions. Get out of here. And that's what he said. He's like, oh yeah, keep drinking the Kool-Aid on the checkdowns. And I'm like, the average depth of target for Jordan Love to Romeo Doubs,
he's like top five in the league of ADOT.
Yeah, it was over 12 yards in this game.
Dude, yeah. Dude, you don't just get six catches for first downs and have bad depth of target, dude. That's stupid.
Well, I gotta look.
I said, is there anything else you want to be wrong about? And he didn't reply. So,
yeah,
Jesus.
Steve, welcome. Glad to see you came and watched the show after the Packers won.
Don't be
Jordan Love is fourth in the league in ADOT.
Yeah, but he only threw checkdowns to Romeo Doubs this game. And
what are we talking about here?
Couldn't be that he was open. Couldn't be.
Dude, Doubs' catch at the end of the game was one of the most impressive catches I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was insane. Hands.
Steve said that was a good win, no hating. It's always good to beat good teams. I'm sure the Bears will do it eventually.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Maybe. They're playing good.
Speaking of checkdowns, guess who's leading the league, or guess who has the least ADOT in the league?
Patrick Mahomes.
Interesting.
He doesn't. He did it last year too. He hardly throws across the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
He's a yak merchant. So looking, we're gonna be 7-2 when we play all. I don't know if I go that far. We'll see, Steve.
It'll be better when we beat you then.
The Lions are a tough game.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
It'd be sick.
Love throws 30 to 40 yard dots to Kraft regularly. He throws 30 to 40 yard dots to a lot of people.
He does.
And he definitely has the arm strength to be targeting Watson whenever he wants to target Watson.
I agree. Yeah.
This game, Jordan Love was 2 for 7 on deep balls. He had 2 touchdowns on deep balls, 1 interception, and 1 drop. That was the one that Jaden Reed had kind of go through his hands. But he had 3 big time throws in this game. All of them were throws of 20 plus yards. So that would be the 2 touchdowns. And the one that Reed dropped, which could have led to more points before halftime. Also, he was 10 of 19, from 10 to 19 yards, he was 3 for 4. From 0 to 9 yards, he was 14 for 15. That's where his other interception was. And then from behind the line of scrimmage, he was 5 for 6. That's where the other drop came in. And he had a touchdown, the touchdown to Josh Jacobs. So the distribution, I've never had a complaint on it since I've had this as a topic to cover, and that's going to continue. Wayne said the Green Bay Packers need to reevaluate next weekend against Jacksonville. Look at the film, find out what kind of errors and mistakes in the Houston Texans. And that's kind of what we're talking about. Chris said Lions are dangerous. Vikings went toe-to-toe with them, but they can't attack so many different ways, and their O-line is insanely good.
Yeah, their offense is just so good.
They've been building their offensive line for what feels like a decade now, and it's just like they just keep investing into it, and now it's just
it's paying off.
Almost.
In my opinion, the Lions are the best team in the league right now.
Yep. Yep.
The Ravens are so good, dude.
That's true.
The Ravens
are 10-0 and absolutely.
The Lions have a very consistent.
The Lions are a better two-way team.
And they play run defense.
The Ravens could outscore the Lions, but the Lions could play better defense than the Ravens.
Yes,
that'd be a sick game right now if both of those teams played. Right, yeah.
Yes, it would.
Okay, Jake, or not Jake, Bryant, how do you feel about the O-line?
Jake, yeah, Cumberland, I imagine that's why I was thinking. Much of the same, right? Very good pass defense or pass protection for the most part. They did give a couple sacks, but not very good on the run blocking side of it. I just feel like it's a struggle right now for Josh Jacobs to get anything more than a 3-yard run. He had a couple, like a 14-yarder, and then he broke the big, like, 27-yarder or whatever. But it's such a battle right now for them to get that. So I know they started the same way last year, started slow with the run blocking, but hopefully they'll pick it up. Good job not getting any penalties. Talking about the grades again, so 4 of their 6 that played were 68 plus. So 60 is average, right, the PFF, and if anyone hasn't heard me say that. 4 of the 6 that played were got a score of 68 or higher, which is pretty high. But then 4 of the 6 were 58.5 or lower in run blocking. So in pass blocking, once again, they're good. Run blocking, not so good. Good job not getting any penalties. I will say I noticed Sean Ryan, he got a lot more snaps than Morgan this game. So Sean Ryan had 45, Morgan only got 13. I will say shout out to Sean Ryan. He is the one that made the tackle on that first interception. and that was returned for 45 yards. If he doesn't catch him there, they might score a touchdown there. They don't score a touchdown, it ends up in a field goal. That is a different, that, you know, early in the game, but that makes a difference in the game. So good job by him hustling back to make that tackle. But yeah, so, you know, for a team that wants to throw up the ball a lot, it's a good that they are good at pass block. I think they're going to have to start finding more success earlier in the game. I know we were killing people in the play action, so it hurts not to have the running game going as strong as we want to. But I like the fact that LaFleur is sticking with it. But I do think that maybe if we can start finding earlier success in the pass game earlier in the games, it can then open up our running game, which will then open up the play action more. So that's what I'm kind of hoping will, you know, happen until we fully get to where we want to be in the run game.
So Justin said Love has 45 touchdowns in his first 22 games. Give that man his flowers. Jordan Love gets his own segment, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit. Chris asked, do the Packers run many screens? The average depth of target would probably indicate no, but I wonder if that could help with the run game struggles as an extension to the run. They don't do a ton of screening, but what they've done a lot is handing the ball off to the wide receivers. So we've seen a lot of Jaden Reed handoffs. We've seen Bo Melton end-arounds. We've seen Christian Watson end-arounds. We saw them try a reverse this week. So they use their wide receivers a little bit in the running game as opposed to running a lot of screens. So those end up going rushes and not short passes.
Yep.
I'm not going to say no to passing more. I actually thought the Packers were going to pass more this year. That's why I had him a little bit. Yeah, sweeps and whatnot is exactly.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Running should be secondary. I mean, again, I'm not gonna say no, but the run game, obviously, it has its place.
He's going to use our sweeps too. Houston was pretty dialed in on our sweep calls this game. The one on third and one I did not like, because I do not like when you're running lateral and across the field on a short down a lot of the times in that situation. But
took all my fucking smoke away, you son of a bitch.
Oh, sorry.
All right, let's give it to Simon. It's his topic to talk about the run game.
Brent kind of alluded to it, but this game started off really slow for the run game. And then you kind of see the same thing for what I feel like is almost a theme this year is Josh Jacobs comes out in the third quarter and has a couple huge runs, and 59 of his 76 rushing yards came after contact this week, and he forced 5 missed tackles. And I feel like Emmanuel Wilson got done a little bit dirty too. He had 11 yards rushing, 18 of his 11 yards came after contact. So that's it was tough. He had 5 rushes for 11 yards. And then I thought the Texans did a really good job at holding our end arounds to negative yardage. They tried 3 times and they had negative 5 yards on those end arounds and sweeps. So good on them, where they've actually had a pretty good success this year. The Packers, that is.
Justin said, so what you're saying is it would help to establish the pass game early to help open the run game up. It's a give and take. Yep. It's a give and take. You have to be able to do both.
I think the LaFleur offense is predicated on passing and play action.
And motion.
Have you seen Jordan Love's stats off play action this year?
Dude, he's disgusting off play
action. Yeah, he's so good. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he has like 126 rating.
Probably be even better.
So
now I gotta look it up.
This is completely random, but did you guys hear that stat about Tony Pollard? I sent it to Tyler yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony Pollard has 339 rush yards this year. How many rush yards do you think he has after contact?
I don't even want to know. It can't be good.
343 rush yards after contact.
That's absolutely insane.
He has more rush yards after contact than he has total yards. That's how bad the Titans O-line is.
Oh, my God.
So when we're watching the Packers O-line and people are complaining about they're not run blocking good, think about how bad it could be.
Who was – they were talking about a player the other day that has like 2.2 yards before contact. I was like, can you imagine having that? It has to be like a Lions player. I forget who it was.
San Francisco or something to our
Lions. It was crazy. I was like, oh.
Man.
Jordan Love has a 105.7 rating in play action this year. He has 4 touchdowns and 1 interception.
I thought I saw something different.
Steve said maybe it's recency bias, but the start to Emmanuel Wilson season makes me think Dylan's never had this type of efficiency. I could look it up. I mean, Dylan's rookie year was definitely his best, but I don't think it's to the point where if we were looking at AJ Dillon and Emmanuel Wilson that we'd need to be like, no, it needs to be this guy over this guy. Like, I think we can just say that they're both.
Oh, I found the screen thing too. Packers have tried 28 screens this year. They went for 149 yards.
Yeah, not hugely successful. And we were struggling with that in preseason too.
Yep.
We used to be such a good screen team, man, back in the Amon Green days. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ryan Grant.
Man.
4 head coaches ago.
James Starks.
I'm showing my
Packers age. Legend James Starks.
Hell yeah.
All right. Going into third and fourth down, Jake, how do they do on offense, third and fourth down?
Could have been better. 4 for 10, so 40%. 1 for 4 in short yardage. They threw an interception. They gave up a sack. And then they ran the dumbest end around I've ever seen in my entire life. You have a 5'9", 220-pound running back who's built like a fucking bowling ball, and you hand it to your freaking 180-pound wide receiver. What the hell are we doing? I don't question a lot of stuff that LaFleur does, but that was fucking stupid. That was stupid. I was fucking pissed at that point. Sorry. I was so mad. But they did go on third and mediums. If you had on your bingo card that the first third down that they were going to pick up in this game was going to be a pass to Bo Melton, congratulations, because you're a goddamn liar.
Oh, I put it in my free space.
Then on that same drive after Bo Melton picked up a third down, the first third down of the game, that was when Love decided to throw an absolute seed to Tucker Kraft. That was an insane throw. And I don't know if you guys saw, but the safety from the Texans was like, crazy throw, because it was getting shared everywhere, right? So it was a crazy throw. And he was like, crazy throw. It went through my hands. Like, bro, do you realize that you just – it did go through his hands.
It went past his hands.
No, it went through his hands. Go look at it again. It went literally directly through his hands, right in the middle.
I thought it went, like, through past his fingertips.
It went through the middle, bro.
I thought he was, like, diving into where it would have been just a little late.
Yeah, I thought he was
you would have went like this, I think you would have caught it, but – either way, you just talk shit about yourself, dude. You literally just said that you can't catch.
Ooh, self-burn. Those are rare.
Yeah, dude. You self-sabotage. What are you doing here?
Well, even Jordan Love did say that he didn't mean to throw that ball so far inside. So he praised Tucker Kraft for catching that thing.
Dude, that was insane. A crazy catch. And then they were 0-for-2 on third and longs. I mean, a little bit more consistency. Maybe do a little bit better on third and shorts. I felt like he already made his decision on the first interception that he threw, where he was just like, listen, I think I know the play and this is where I'm throwing it. And, you know, sometimes that happens. Good quarterbacks make bad decisions sometimes too. I don't think that was trying to force a pass. I just think Jordan Love got tricked a little bit by the coverage, and it is what it is. But, you know, and that just goes to show what Jordan Love is. Sometimes he throws interceptions and sometimes he throws crazy touchdowns where you're just like, holy shit, that should not have been completed. But overall, I think a little bit better than 40% is what I'd want. I want closer to 45%, but can't be too upset we won, right?
I want 69%.
Same.
We would win a lot of games if we completed 69% of our third downs, bro.
Steve said, I heard a stat about Jacobs earlier this year. When the line gives him a yard before contact, he was averaging 9 yards per carry on those plays. That is wild.
I bet.
That's one of those things where, like, I don't have the time to, like, vet that because I think I'd have to be able to look it up.
And I believe it.
Rushing yards on the season, so that wouldn't surprise me. So,
Chris said, thanks for looking into the stats. That's what we do.
Derrick Henry has 873 yards already rushing this season. That's insane.
Chris said, I will say Minnesota's screen game was horrible. Then Jones showed up. Now it's great. Maybe some correlation there. I mean, we spent maybe years saying that he was one of the best dual threat running backs.
Yeah. He's so good in screens.
Yeah.
Look, we loved him in Green Bay. It's just that he can stay healthy. Oh, if he stays healthy in Minnesota, good for him. I mean, that's what we all want him to stay healthy. But
I mean, playing is not about the Packers.
Yeah.
Okay. On to the red zone offense. So the first trip, they started at the 20-yard line. Had a one-yard run, a five-yard pass to Dontavian Wicks, and then the 14-yard laser touchdown to Tucker Kraft. Second trip, they started at the 18-yard line after the 27-yard Josh Jacobs run. They had a one-yard run for Emmanuel Wilson, Jordan Love to Romeo Doubs, 12-yard pass, and then first and goal at the 5. They had a negative 3-yard screen, and then another screen on second and goal from the 8 that gave Josh Jacobs his first receiving touchdown of his career. So that's pretty much it. They're successful in the red zone. I'm going to give some more stats when we get into the preview a little bit.
I don't think that sucks at all, AFAM. I'm excited to play them.
I'm super excited to play the Lions, bro.
Yeah. AFAM said we got 2 more against the Lions and the Bears. That would be great to win 3 or 4 out of those.
Bro, yeah. You know how scared Bears fans are? They won't even bet a soda, bro.
Also, I would say it would suck more that we have, you know, another against the Vikings. I'm not, until the Bears beat somebody that actually is decent. Yeah. Now, I say that, you got to be careful. We just beat the Jaguars and we have to play them this weekend. And it's any given weekend, you know what I mean? But the Bears haven't beat anyone that is, you know, better than
noteworthy.
4 or 5. So
all their wins came against teams with 1 win.
Yep. The only reason they have 2 now is because Jacksonville won a game.
Yep.
Yep. Avram said, I'd rather play the Jaguars 4 times in a row. I'm sure everybody would, except for maybe the Patriots. But Chris said, I think the Bears are going to show up, play some of these real teams and struggle. And I think that's probable. I mean, you're going to see Caleb Williams is going to have some games where he looks like a rookie quarterback. It doesn't mean that he's going to suck for the rest of his career, as much as it would make me happy and laugh.
Yeah, that guy's still learning, and then you're going to put him against a Brian Flores defense that is,
right,
you know, stressing out some of the best quarterbacks in the league, are what we're seeing kind of the Green Bay morph into, are the Lions that are a high-flying team too. You know what I mean? So,
okay, so Simon, I'll go to you first. What were your thoughts on Jordan Love in the Texans game?
Yeah, I thought he had a very up and down day, and there were times where the offense kind of struggled to get the ball moving and kind of relied on Whelan a little bit to help with the field position battle. I was more surprised by his second interception than his first. I thought he just straight up overthrew Watson. Like, it was a good decision to make. Watson was open. He just overthrew him. Other than that, I thought he played a really good game. The absolute dimes to Wicks and Kraft, and then Jacobs getting a screen for his first receiving touchdown, and then that deep ball to Reed before the halftime was absolutely beautiful. It was right on the money, and I don't think you'd ask for a better ball than that. He's got to be up there in like just the loss of yardage for drops this year. It's just insane how many good drops there are.
He's played,
but it happens.
He's played 5 games. The Packers have 10 drops from Jordan Love.
Yeah,
there's no way it's only 10.
PFF has 10.
Yeah, PFF's full of shit a lot of times. So
every website or whatever counts drops a little bit differently.
Yeah.
That's kind of all I got. He didn't really do anything in the running department. Took a couple sacks. It is what it is.
Brian, what are your thoughts on Jordan Love?
Yeah, and good call out on that drop. Simon, I meant to mention that during the wide receivers. That's not a ball that Reed will normally drop, that him in the hands. For the Watson one, yeah, he needs to not throw that high there, but he did get pressured. The offensive line, if you go back and watch it, the offensive line didn't hold up. If they hold up there, he probably gets a little more chance to settle and, you know, hit Watson there. But if he knows he's pressured there and it's going to be a lot higher, more difficult throw, that's where we kind of want to see him throw it away or just take the sack, to be honest, because it was first down. The other interception that he gave up, that was a pretty good play by the safety there. You know, and it was an unfortunate deflection. A lot of times you see those just fall to the ground and get punched down to the ground, went up in the air, got intercepted. But overall, yeah, kind of an up and down game. He needs to fix the mistakes. There's definitely, there's probably two or three interceptions that are not his fault at all in the season, but the other ones he definitely has some fault in. So he needs to clean those up. But I mean, he's also has 15 touchdowns in five games too. He's averaging three touchdowns a game. You know, he's third side tied for second in the league right now in touchdowns. He's only played five games. You could be like Patrick Mahomes, who everyone's, oh, it's the best quarterback, our quarterback in the league, rightfully so, right? But he's also got six touchdowns and eight interceptions in the year. So it's like people go through this. I've seen JR. Oh, I think JR said earlier that he tries to fit in balls where he shouldn't. Well, guess what? That Tucker Kraft touchdown is because he fit that ball in there. That doesn't happen if he's playing conservative. You got to take some good with the bad, or you have to take some bad with the good. It's going to happen. He's still learning. As long as he continues to try to learn from him. But I would say right now he's making about twice as many good plays as bad plays. And that can be a winning formula.
Yep.
You obviously don't want it, but it can be a winning formula for sure. So overall, I thought he played well. I thought he did a really good job on that. He calls the plays in the two minute drive, right? So when they're in that 2 minute drive situation, it's on Jordan Love to call those plays. So he called those plays to get them down the field, and he got them in position to win that game. So it was really nice to see, or really good to see that happened.
That first interception to me just seemed like it was a third down play, and they're like, okay, we're going to call this play. This is where I go on this play. So it seemed like a predetermined throw that he was making. And then the second one was, again, it was under pressure. You guys brought that up already. He also threw two crazy touchdown passes, and the drop ball that Simon brought up. He had more big time throws than turnover worthy plays, which that's going to be a good thing for me. And Jake, give me your thoughts, and I'm going to say two more things before we move on.
Okay, first of all, our comment section is going absolutely wild. I apologize, Brian, bro, but good Lord, what is happening over there? You guys need to focus on football. Get your head out of the gutters, damn it.
Yeah, comment section, chill out.
Yeah, Simon. So, anyways, he did have two turnovers, right? You know, we're beating a dead horse at this point, talking about the turnovers. But then you talk about the two throws, right? The throw to Tucker Kraft and then the throw to Dontavian Wicks. I don't think people are giving enough credit to. What an absolute dot to hit him in stride down the left sideline with pretty good man coverage to a guy who's been struggling with drops. And drops was a topic of conversation a couple weeks ago, especially with Dontavian Wicks' name. And to trust him in that situation, I mean, to beat his guy and to throw that up there and give him a chance to do it, and he made the play. I mean, credit to everybody, man. Credit to LaFleur calling the play. Love dropping the ball down there, and Wicks making the play. Big time touchdown for the Green Bay Packers. So at the end of the day, you judge his bad throws, you judge his good throws, and then you throw in the other stuff in there where he commands the offense, he's making checks, he's calling runs, checking the passes. He's absolutely in full command of this offense. So at the end of the day, you look at it and you're like, listen, we got a 25-year-old quarterback. He's 6'4", strong arm, athletic, can run, can make every throw from any position, and that's what he does, man. He's an absolute stud.
So the last two things that I wanted to say about Jordan Love, he was 3 for 7 when he was under pressure this game. No touchdowns, one interception. Plays where he was kept clean, he was 21 of 26. That's an 80.8 completion percentage for 185 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. So if the offensive line can keep Jordan Love clean, he is a monster. Then the other thing that I wanted to do with the constant comparison of, oh, Jordan Love shouldn't have got this big contract, he shouldn't have gotten paid so soon. The comparing Jordan Love to other quarterbacks making similar money, the three that I looked at were Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, and Dak Prescott. The Packers are 5-2. The Bengals are 3-4. The Jaguars are 2-5. And the Cowboys are 3-3. The Packers are 5-2, and even without Jordan, or the games that Jordan Love has played, they're 3-2. So this money doesn't equal production, or this production shouldn't equal a big contract. That's just how it goes about it. You know, the Packers being the team that sits their guy behind the current starter, it just, you're going to have less of a sample size when it comes time to pay a guy for his first big extension. It's just the name of the game.
Sorry, Justin killed us there. Yeah. You make a good point with the games played, right? This is just like 22nd game or whatever, already thrown 50 touchdowns. I mean, the dude is still developing, learning. I get it. He's been in the league for, this is now his fifth year or yep. whatever it is, fifth or fourth, fourth year. No, fifth.
That's his fifth year.
Yep. Yeah, like he's still learning. He's still young. So the fact that he's making and throwing for as many touchdowns as he is, yes, he's making mistakes, but that's pretty encouraging.
I mean, you look at last year. He started the first half of the year throwing a lot of interceptions. Second half of the year, dude, he was absolutely setting the league on fire.
You doing good, Simon?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I had to mute myself. I was rolling. That was too funny.
Chicago couldn't get worse, right? And then you put Caleb Williams and Angel Reese into that city, and it just got worse. Oh. I didn't know it could get worse, but it did.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. You guys ready to move on to Jacksonville?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Simon, once you catch your breath, you can tell
me. I'm good now. I muted myself and got it out of my system. I'm good. Justin's too funny. Hold on, was this? People forget how Favre and Rodgers still needed a few years. Yeah, true. I mean, Jordan Love's still young as far as playing goes. What is that, his 45th or 46th game or something?
22nd. Well, yeah.
20, yeah, I'm sorry. 20. Yeah, I meant 22nd or 23rd game. So, still. God damn it. Okay. I got to stop looking at comments. All right. You said the offense, right?
Defense.
Oh, we're starting defense. Sorry. I think that... it depends. Like, if we see ETN or they just ride Tank Bigsby again for another week, because he looked good, and their run back blocking in for their offense is really good too. And then obviously rookie sensation Brian Thomas, is those are the only two players I'm really worried about on that offense. Everyone else, Evan Ingram, still a decent player, but not someone I'm, you know, shading coverage to or anything like that. And that, so it really is just like stopping the run, and then Xavier McKinney can take care of Brian Thomas Jr. I'm avoiding the comments. I'm trying not to look.
They're getting back. Chris said, I always find it crazy how many people want to pick apart their team and quarterbacks when they are 5-2 like Green Bay or 5-1 like Minnesota. It's crazy how many people went ballistic after Minnesota barely lost to the Lions. Again, the complaints are from the surface surfers who give up after one loss. And unfortunately, there are much more casual fans than there are ones who actually know what they're talking about, or at least have an interest in learning more about what they're talking about.
True.
And that's even though, like, I know that the four of us know what we're talking about, but we are still in that second camp where we're still trying to learn more, even though we already know things because we've attempted to learn more. So, Bryant, what are you looking for from the Packers defense against Jacksonville?
Yeah, Simon kind of hit the nail on the head. I think it's crazy when you look at this offense, you're like, how is this team 2-5? Brian Thomas Jr. is a very good wide receiver, rookie wide receiver. Christian Kirk has the ability to go off. He's a decent wide receiver. Just last year or the year prior, whatever it was, over 1,000 yards. You know, they have Big Game Davis now. That guy's had some big games in his career. And then you have Tank Bigsby right now, who's running like a maniac, a really strong runner. And then you also have Travis Etienne. We'll see if he's healthy or not this week, but he's also like a big threat. But so for on the defense side, we're gonna have to look out for that, right? Tank Bigsby is averaging 6.2 yards a carry, and that's on like 70 carries so far this year. So it's not like a small sample size. If Etienne plays, he can carry the ball too, but he can also really, he's really good at catching it out of the backfield. I'll also say that Evan Ingram is a very good tight end, so they'll also have to deal with that, and with our linebacker struggling a little bit with coverage, you know, that's definitely a little bit worrisome too. However, I think you can attack the offensive line, their left side of that offensive line. has given up 7 sacks. One of them is Ezra Cleveland. He was kind of up and down. I think, you know, Kenny Clark had his fair share of good games against him. Ezra had some good games too, but hopefully it leans Packers' way this week. But, you know, they definitely can give up plenty of pressure and sacks. But their offense is going to put up points. This is going to be a good offense. Their offense is good. It's their defense that we'll talk about here in minutes that struggles a lot.
Just looking at the Jaguars defense like an evil mastermind at this point. But we'll get to that in a minute. Jake, what are you looking for from the Packers defense?
Yeah, so I went with my topic. So third down, the Packers defense, they're only allowing 35% of first downs on third down. So that's pretty good. That's 15th in the NFL. A lot of these things are separated by decimal points, right? So they're very close to being in the top 10. The Jaguars offense is only getting first downs on third down 34% of the time, which is 24th in the NFL. So, yeah, that's not good. And then I was looking at pass rush, and the Jags average giving up 2.4 sacks per game. But I went game by game and looked at all the sacks that they gave up. They gave up 3 versus Miami, 4 versus Cleveland, and 5 versus Buffalo. That's 12 in the first 3 weeks. Over their past 4 weeks, they gave up 1 versus Houston, 0 versus the Colts, 4 versus the Bears. They were down big. They had to pass a lot that game. So obviously you get sacked more when the defense kind of knows what you're running. And then they gave up 0 versus New England. So they've given up 5 sacks, 4 in one game over the last 4 weeks. So their pass blocking has gotten better. And that has correlated with Tank Bigsby getting more carries. And I just want to say about Tank Bigsby, sometimes people's names are appropriate to their play style. Tank, he runs like a tank. I'm just going to say. Then they also passed the ball on 58.23% of their play calls. So they passed the ball a lot. So lots of opportunity for the pass rush to show up and take over this game. So let's see what we got. Red zone defense. The Jaguars only score on 50% of their red zone trips. That's a good thing for us because the Packers have been pretty good in the red zone the last couple of weeks. 1-for-3 versus the Cardinals. 2-for-4 versus the Texans. That's 3-for-7. That's 42.8%. You hold teams under 50%. Touchdowns versus field goals. You're going to win a lot of games. You sack the quarterback. You get up big leads. It'll be really important, in my opinion, for the offense to get off to a fast start, which you're looking to get off to a fast start. The Jaguars might just be the goddamn team you can do that against because their defense is bad, and Darnell Savage looks like a bum right now. Just going to throw that out there because I was like the biggest Darnell Savage defender. I was wrong.
Chris said it's a 17-game season. All these teams are pros. Some are better than others, but any given Sunday is a saying for a reason. That's why we're still giving our full preview against the Jaguars. Like, we're not taking it as, you know, we can just skip the preview. Like, we're still taking it seriously. Steve said Jacksonville self-inflicts their problems with their – if they play clean, big if, they look good at times. Cody said T-Law is very mistake-prone and our defense loves to force turnovers. I'm sure if Jeff second half is looking his chocks at this week's prep. Justin said they'll give up 3+ sacks this week. So for me, looking at the Packers defense, looking at the D line, Trevor Lawrence has thrown 3 interceptions this season. All 3 of them came while he was kept clean. He hasn't thrown an interception while he's been blitzed. So my question is if the front 4 can make him uncomfortable enough to make him make bad decisions. He doesn't want to run. He's got averaging just over 2 attempts per game. So if the defensive line can rush, you know, instead of focusing on contain like they've done with Stroud and Richardson and Hurts. So I'm looking to see if the D-line can make him uncomfortable enough to force him into some of those turnovers. Anything else you guys want to say on the defense?
Yeah, if I meant to mention that, you know, for the linebackers, again, they have to be just prepared to try to step up and stop Tank and then just be, you know, don't let Evan Engram beat us. I thought Dalton Schultz had a couple chances to make some big plays. He had the big completion against us. So just be prepared for that. Once again, if we can take away their running game away from it, I think they're going to struggle. So,
all right, Bryant, what are you watching for on special teams?
Yeah. So just hopefully we can be smart with, you know, catching a punt. It's probably going to be, Jake will talk about the weather, but it's Jacksonville, it's Florida. It's probably going to be sunny and hot and everything else. Just be smart catching the ball. And then the one thing I'll say, we kind of got to be careful with this week, even though that Whelan's been really good at it. They have 10 punt returns and they're averaging 20 yards a punt return. So they have a huge average on punt returns. So just be careful a little bit not to outkick your coverage. He's been good on that because his hang time is really good. So be good there. And then hopefully McManus can continue to, you know, he had one kick and he showed up. And don't forget, this is the team that he played for before he came to us. and he had some troubles there and some things were said about him. So, you know, maybe he's motivated to make sure he's ready for this game fully. I don't expect too many return opportunities for us. They've only given up like 4 kick returns all year. So, and you've seen that Houston had given up a bunch of them coming into this game. Nixon ripped off the one big one on them to start the game. They got lucky because there was a penalty on us. They kicked to him one more time and that was it. So a lot of teams are realizing we probably just don't want to kick to him. So
Their punt returner is Parker Washington.
Yeah. Out of Penn State, I'm pretty sure. A little quick.
Yep. Yep. Penn State.
And they also use Devin Duvernay.
Yep.
Okay. For me, looking into the coaching aspect of it, I wrote one sentence for coaching. And my one sentence is, I want Matt LaFleur to out-coach Doug Peterson so drastically that Doug Peterson gets fired this week.
So I actually had a thought about that. I think that's where Ben Johnson's going to end up next year. People were talking about in the comments that Ben Johnson leaves for a head coaching job. He's going to go down to Jacksonville. He's going to save Trevor Lawrence's career.
Can see that.
They have some weapons down there. It wouldn't be bad.
They do. They actually have a pretty good looking offense on paper. Yeah. I mean, you guys were bringing it up, talking about tight ends, running backs, wide receivers. I mean, they spent some money in the offseason on some wide receivers. They spent the first round pick on a wide receiver. I mean, they've tried.
I mean, they could probably use an O-lineman.
Well, going into this game, I think for coaching is going to be a big thing. I just feel like this has the opportunity to be a trap game. However, I know we don't like talking about that, but
damn, look at it. Stop fucking.
Jags are. We're talking about coaching. It's a coach's job to not let a trap game happen. You had the chance to comment. You sucked. It's my turn.
That's fair.
So, you know, this team's coming back from the UK, 2 weeks there. But the Packers, everyone's saying, oh, they should beat them. You know, we open up as like 6 points favorites or 6.5. It's already down to like 6 or 5.5. But we have Jacksonville. It's very likely players are looking forward to Detroit because that's a big game, Detroit. And then we have the bye afterwards. So, and we've also just last year got our absolute asses kicked in that same stadium by the Saints. I'm pretty sure it was last year or whatever, maybe 2 years ago, 38-3 or whatever it was.
It was a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah. We just suck when we go to Florida. So hopefully they're, you know, this is one of those games that you need to win because you're going to have some tougher games. 6-2 looks really nice on the record sheet. Try to get to that. Have a tough game at home against Detroit, and then you worry about that next week. Don't worry about that game until at least Monday. So hopefully, you know, they're ready to roll. Sorry, Jake. I'll try not to steal your thunder.
Hey, you're good, bro. I was just holding it for later.
Simon, what are you looking for from the Packers offense?
Yeah, I think Josh Hines Allen and Trayvon Walker form a pretty good pass rushing duo. Yep. So I'm looking at tackle play a lot, and then their secondary is just not that good. They allow 10.7 yards per completion, which is 25th in the league, and 7.6 yards per attempt, which is 30th in the league. If the Packers give Jordan Love enough time to throw the ball, I think he's going to have some opportunities downfield because their safety play is just not that good.
It's bad.
Yep.
It's bad, bro. It's ugly.
I have a feeling that
the look, Steve.
Conversation is going to come up a lot in the next couple segments. Brian, what are you looking for from the Packers offense?
Yeah, so talking about the Jaguars defense, they're the worst passing defense in the league, okay? So they give up 279 yards per game. They've given up 16 touchdowns with just one interception. They're allowing 70% completion rating. The passer rating is 113.7. Really, the wide receivers should just, you know, go off early and often. So if we can get a big lead in this game, I think our early lead in this game, it's really going to kind of throw them off their game. So the rush defense has been okay. So they're only allowing 102.6 yards per game, but, you know, 4.2 yards per carry is a decent amount, but top 10 in the league. So I do think our run, you know, our struggles in the run blocking will maybe has a chance to continue. Hopefully we can get a little bit of room. Hopefully we can find early success in the passing game, which we should. If we can do that, we can run the ball a little bit better. But the biggest thing they need to do is just slow down Tavon Walker and Allen. If we can slow them down a little bit, I think we should easily put 30 points on this team. But I mean, their pass defense is awful. So, yeah.
So, Jake, what are you looking for from the Packers offense?
Yeah, their defense is just a mess. And the way to, and this is like classic football, you've heard about this your entire life, the way to get rid of a good pass rusher is to run the ball at him. I feel like Josh Jacobs is a very good guy to run the ball at Josh Hines Allen. He's not known for his strength, not that he's weak, but he's more known as a quickness kind of guy to get to the outside. So you run the ball at him with a couple power rushes and you take care of that. For me, I was looking at third down offense. The Packers right now are 14th in the NFL, converting 40%. I said I want that to creep up to 45%. And I said that the Jaguars defense would be a good team to do that against because they are giving up 45% of third down conversions. That is 27th in the NFL. So let's just not get the third down. Let's just pass the ball and get down there in first and second down. Then I won't have to talk as much next week.
So I'm going to get some very similar numbers with the red zone and looking at the Packers offense. Obviously, I want to keep spreading the ball around. I like seeing Tucker Kraft getting targeted in the red zone. Jordan Love has 11 touchdowns in the last three games, and six different receivers have caught those passes. So looking at it, the red zone, the last three games, the Packers are scoring touchdowns on two-thirds of their drives.
Mm-hmm.
If Jacksonville is dead last in red zone touchdown percentage, allowing touchdowns on 78.26% of their opponent. Holy. Damn.
That's crazy, man.
It gets worse because in the last three games, they're allowing 81.82% touchdown percentage in the red zone.
Dang.
So for me, I'm looking if the Packers get four chances, they should convert at least three. If not all four, if they get five chances, definitely four, if not all five.
See, they're allowing 70% on fourth down attempts against them, too.
Yikes.
Yeah, they're really bad on fourth down, too. Their run defense is okay, by the way, Cody. They allow like 3.8 yards per carry. Yes. But if you could pass the damn ball against the team, why would you try to run it?
That's true. That's one of the reasons why I think they're still top 10 in the league is because people probably aren't running the ball as much on them because they're just gashing them.
Their
offense is good enough to where they're about middle of the pack with attempts against. Actually, I remember looking at that now because I thought about that. I was like, well, how many times are people running against them? They're about middle of the pack, but I do think their offense is good enough to put up points in games. So teams that are throwing against them are just continuing to throw against them.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yep.
Okay, Brian, what are the injury designations to watch for?
Yeah, so a couple big ones. Obviously, Quay. I know people want to see him back. I know Matt LaFleur said he seemed to be doing good. But whenever you see someone kind of go into that coffin, like type of, I mean, his hands are up like this, that's scary stuff. To me, to a certain degree, with what we've seen with Tua, it's not Quay's first concussion. I kind of hope they sit him down and be like, look, we want you back this week. We're glad you're feeling good, but I think we're going to give you an extra week. I mean, we don't want the dude's brain to go to mush, you know what I mean? Not only for our football team, but for the future health of himself and his family. So I wouldn't hate if they just kind of told them like, hey, we appreciate your effort and want to be on the field, but I think we're going to take all caution into our own hands and maybe have you sit out. I know the last week, after the game, LaFleur said he's optimistic that Wyatt will get going again this week. Now, if trend is anything, they'll probably want him to practice a week, get back into full football shape before he really plays. If he does play, I think he'd be very limited. No other big injuries that I've seen. I do think Jair did go for a snap or two. I don't know if it's injury related or not. I just know he didn't play all the snaps, but there was no concern with that after the game. And I didn't see any other injuries. Now for the Jaguars, two ones that I'm kind of watching on that we know early on are Cam Robinson, their left tackle, went out with a head injury last game, and then Travis Etienne obviously didn't play. So obviously we don't have the full picture yet because there's a bunch of injuries that probably haven't been reported on both sides, but we'll kind of have to keep an eye on it tomorrow. Just like with Houston last week coming into this show, I didn't know they were so banged up. I knew they were a little bit banged up, but they had a lot of players missing last week.
Jair played all 63 snaps.
Why did I think he missed a couple? Maybe I'm thinking of someone else. Oh, I'm thinking of Zach Tom because he went off for his shoe.
Yeah. Yeah, Jair played all 63, so he's good to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Or should be good to go. Chris said, especially against a team they should beat up, might as well let him rest up for the Lions game, or just let him knock the rust off a little bit, let him play, you know, 10% of snaps or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that happening too.
Yeah. Okay. Jake, what is the weather going to be like?
Yeah, so Bryant was right. It's Florida and it's sunny. Sunday, October 27th, partially cloudy, high around 80, winds north-northeast at 10 to 15 miles an hour. It's going to be a really nice day, just like it was at Lambeau last week, so nothing too crazy.
Sweet. Better than playing there in September and having it be 90 and Alan Lazard throwing up on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I went to one game. Me and Simon actually went to that game together. It was the first game of the season. Oh, my God, I thought we were going to die.
I'll say this. I was talking last week about the weather, and I was like, you know, people bitching about how hot the weather is. I said that it could be a good thing because they were going to Jacksonville the following week, and they can get used to playing in that weather before they have to go down to Florida instead of being shocked from going from 54 to 82. You know, like, that's a big difference. So playing in 75, 78, going down and playing in 80, not that big of a difference.
Steve said he's confident the Packers faithful will fill roughly half the stadium in Jacksonville.
Half? Maybe fucking 70%, dude. Is there Jaguars fans right now?
In London, I'm sure there are.
Oh, well, yeah. Because they play half their damn games there.
They're going to move their franchise to London. So they'll actually they
eventually will.
Okay. I'm going to go to Simon. Simon, what is your matchup to watch?
I have the offensive tackles versus their pass rushers.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to have a similar thing to say in the next segment. Bryant, what's your matchup to watch?
I have Darby versus Watson/Wicks. So Darby is allowing 132.8% passer rating against 12-point yards per reception. He's allowed 3 touchdowns and 4% completion percentage. And then talking about Watson going deep, all their safeties are allowing at least 106 passer rating or higher against them. So this, I feel like this is a game where we're going to be able to throw the ball down the field. And that, to me, screams hopefully Watson, who I'd love to have a big game, Watson and Wicks. So Darby versus whoever we line up against him.
Chris said the stadium is 31st worst ranked regarding fan comfort. Was looking into it because I'm going to the November 10th.
I don't know. I didn't have a problem with their stadium. There was like nothing inherently wrong with it. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I think it's the comfort where we were having to put ice in our head, Simon, to not die.
Well, it was also 110 degrees.
So that's probably what
that and was. We were drinking. Like, yeah. That was just that.
Yeah. That was a game where our Rodgers made that sick touchdown pass at the end of the half, dude. So,
yeah, that makes sense, Chris. Whatever. I liked it. I think
we parked underneath a sketchy bridge, too, so hopefully look into better parking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that parking was a little sketch, dude. Pretty sure I found a couple needles in the back seat or something.
Went in Florida.
Someone left their grill back there, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the grill you cook on or the grill you put over your teeth?
Over your teeth.
What? It was Nelly.
I was making a joke.
I was Paul Wall selling grills. All right, Jake. It's Florida, man. Yeah, Jake, what's your matchup?
So I have coaches versus game plan. With how good our division is, every division game and every division loss will kind of feel like two losses, right? So this has to feel a little bit of a trap game. This is where I was going to say it. Because you have a big-time division game coming up at home versus the Lions. And, you know, Lions look like the team to beat in the NFC/NFL right now. The Packers are playing a little bit sloppy with the football, so at times they kind of beat themselves with penalties or turnovers. So do the coaches hold some stuff back for the game plan, and, you know, trying to trick the Lions next week with some big-time plays, or do they just go crazy and just let it loose and say, listen, this is our plays, and we think we're better than you, Detroit, so this is what we got, and we're still going to beat you. I just think it's going to be interesting to see what they roll out there.
So, for me, I went with Xavier McKinney versus Trevor Lawrence. I think there's an opportunity here where they could make up for some of the zero interception games. Trevor Lawrence only has 3 interceptions, and I mentioned that they all came without pressure. So, the Packers have obviously generated a lot of pressure. Trevor Lawrence has 7 turnover-worthy plays. So, a lot of the turnover-worthy plays that he has hasn't been converted into turnovers. So, I think there's an opportunity for that. So, Simon, who is your X Factor?
I have Jair Alexander versus Brian Thomas. He's been a game changer for them this year.
Jake, judging by the look on your face, I'm guessing you had a similar one.
I do kind of, but it's called X Factor, so I went with X. The Packers lost the turnover battle last week, and I think that they're going to try to reverse that this week, and Xavier McKinney's the guy that kind of gets us going. So,
Bryant, who's your X Factor?
Yeah, that time Tyler and Jake stole a little bit of my thunder. My X Factor was Xavier McKinney because this Jaguars team will throw the ball down the field. They will throw it deep. Trevor Lawrence has one of the deeper target ranges, so they're going to try to throw the ball deep, and that's where I think Xavier McKinney can have an impact.
So Simon's matchup was on the Packers offensive line. My X factor is the Packers offensive line. So Jacksonville is 17th in sacks, 15.5. If the offensive line keeps Love clean like they should, Love can just dissect the Packers defense. These guys have broken down the secondary, the red zone, the third downs. Jordan Love this season, when he's kept clean, is 89 for 128. That's a 69.5 completion percentage.
Nice.
He has 12 touchdowns and 4 interceptions when he's kept clean this year.
Nice.
He also has 7 drops on plays where he's kept clean. So Jordan Love's numbers could be even better than the already very solid numbers that he has when he's kept clean.
It's a good one, Steve.
Yeah.
You've said Evan Williams in run support and matching with Evan Engram. He'll be an X factor.
That's a good one. That's definitely a good point, because how does a team like this beat us in warm weather too? If they do what Houston did and just continue to run the ball down our throat and we're not stopping it, they're going to, you know what I mean? That's a recipe for disaster for us. So.
Alrighty. Simon, what is your score prediction from the head?
I think this is going to be a super close game. I have us winning 27-24.
Bryant, from the head?
27-21.
Jake?
27-13.
From the head? Do we all have them scoring 27 points?
Let's go.
I have 27-16.
Nice.
All right, Simon, from the heart?
33-17.
Bryant?
37-24. Maybe with a garbage time touchdown in there against us.
Jake?
3 touchdowns.
I have 31-10.
I have 36-13.
Nice.
Damn.
Justin said from the head, 31-17. From the heart, 38-17. All right. I'm with that. And then going into some Simon Says. So, Bryant, I know I'd like to let you go first, so I'll let you pick if you want to do offense or defense first.
I will do offense first, and I put 2 pass catchers go over 100 yards each.
Yeah, I can see that.
Nice.
Chris said I think Green Bay will have at least 4 touchdowns. I'm on board. Jake, give me your offensive Simon Says.
It's a 3-parter. Love 300 passing yards, Jacobs 100 rushing yards, and name any receiver to go over 100 receiving yards.
The only thing that gets me is the Jacobs rushing yards.
It's supposed to be bold. I just didn't do an easy one.
Yeah, that's the only part that gets me. I could see it. Let's go.
Steve said the Packers are 5-2 all time versus Jacksonville. Never scored more than 28.
Oh, wow.
Time to set a new team high.
Actually, in 6 of the hearts matchups in Jacksonville, it's been a 1-score game.
Interesting. I put Jordan Love's first 0 interception game plus 3 touchdowns.
Yes.
I like it.
All right, Brian, do you got one for defense?
I do. I put Xavier McKinney and Ja Money both get a pick.
Interesting.
Maybe I should have just said 2 picks, but I feel like they're each going to have – he's going to be targeting Brian Thomas Jr., and I feel like they're each going to have a chance.
Yeah, why not? I'm down for at least 1 pick, so I'm just going to say the other one's going to happen because it makes me feel better.
Justin said Long has 4 touchdowns to 3 different wide receivers. Jacobs with a touchdown. for offense.
Jeez, we were just talking about all of that, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
It'd be crazy if all that.
Justin said for defense, the defense has 3+ sacks and 2 interceptions.
Hell yeah.
Jake, I'll say if you're playing daily fantasy, this would be a game I would target to for the Packers offense with a bring back player in Jacksonville.
Yeah. We hold the Jaguars under 200 total yards.
Ooh. I think it's going to be that one's going to be tough.
These are supposed to be bold, man. I'm going bold.
I know. That's why, it's just hard to see. It's just, even if we get ahead on them, they'll still figure out a way to get extra yards out of nowhere. Yeah. Unless it ends up being like
the way they did it against the Texans, it makes me think it's possible.
That's why I was just thinking of. I was like, if it's a close game like that, but that game was also really weird, too.
They had a lot of short fields too.
Yeah, that's the part that gets me is
if you would have said 250, I would say yes. 225, I'd be
yeah. 2, probably not.
Chris said under 200 passing for sure. I could definitely see that.
Well, that's too easy.
All right. Mine for defense. Trevor Lawrence has been sacked 11 times in the first 3 games of their season and then 3 against Chicago. So Green Bay's season high sets a new season high for Jacksonville at 5.
Mm. Ooh.
They've had 4 twice and 3 twice.
I like it. I like it.
That Simon says T Law gets benched.
No, there's T-Law. They're not benching him. There's no way. The bonus on the
you can get. Simon, you got any bold predictions for this game?
Packers start fast, score 3 touchdowns in the first quarter.
Holy shit.
That'd be awesome.
It's one of those Madden games where they say, hey, your opponent seems to be better than you. Do you want to concede this game or
do you want to concede?
That's one of those things where, like, if they have a drive like the Cardinals, they had a first play touchdown to Christian Watson. Like,
yeah,
in that aspect, I could see it.
Especially we've also had the ball first, I think, every game but one this year.
I think they have to have a turnover to make it happen.
Mm.
Speaking of turnovers, Cody's bold prediction this week is 5 turnovers.
No,
golly.
That's so many. When's the last time the Packers had 5 turnovers? I can't even think of it.
So my bold prediction is, I know we've all said it has a chance to be a close game. So my extra, prediction is that McManus gets a game-winning field goal for the second week in a row against his former team.
Oh, that'd be sick. Oh, yeah. That'd be so
awesome. I hope we're not in that situation.
I don't want to be in that situation.
I feel like this is a team we should easily beat, but we've seen the Packer team in the play down to their competition, I would say.
Play down to their competition. They're in an away game in Florida. Like, I don't love it that much. But
I would enjoy – Chris said he had 5 Apple turnovers because he said – I would enjoy seeing Cam Little kick a last-second field goal to cut the Packers' lead to 42.
He did it, boys.
Yeah, I want to do a Miami versus Denver game. Thanks everybody for all the comments, for watching everything live, for the work that you guys put into this, and for people bringing more conversation to the show as well. That's why we do the shows live, so we can have the comments, even the debauchery that today's comment section evolved into at points.
Comment section was a dumpster fire.
Trying to keep the composure. But that's part of what makes it fun. So we appreciate everybody joining the live and anybody who's going to rewatch or re-listen to the show in the coming days. So we will see you everybody next Tuesday.
Go Pack, go.